This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is The Morning Run, and you're here with Lynn Mark, Roshan Karnison, and Noel Lim. Since December 30th, 2020, the US Customs and Border Protection has detained palm oil and products containing palm oil produced by Sime Darby Plantations Berhad and its subsidiaries, following allegations of forced labour. Now, Sime Darby Plantations has said it's reviewing the statement to better understand any potential impact would engage the agency to address concerns raised.
Now, to emphasise the business concern here, Moody's Investor Service called this development credit negative and noted that this could damage the palm oil player's relationship with customers and other stakeholders, while large losses in earnings, if any, could weaken its credit profile. So now the question is, what is the potential fallout from all of this?
And to find out this morning, we're speaking with Haris Arshad, Managing Director of Sime Darby Oil, Sime Darby Plantations' downstream arm, to find out more. Haris, thank you so much for speaking with us this morning. Now, I guess the big question on everyone's mind is, does the CBP's allegation hold any truth? Because for them to ban Sime Darby Plantations' oil and products, they must have had some evidence of forced labour.
Good morning, Lynn, Roshan and Noel. Thank you for having me on this call this morning. The allegations of a systemic forced labor within our operations is absolutely false. Now, we have 88,000 employees worldwide, and 37,000 of them are in Malaysia. The distribution of people is no different to any large organizations where most of them are good, decent, and law-abiding. But there's always a few bad apples, if you like. Now, at STP, we have a very strict code of business conduct. Now, if you find people who are in breach of this conduct, we have and we will take actions. But it is not systemic.
Well, there's no smoke without fire. So what is Sime Darby going to do now to step up on ensuring that it doesn't run into this situation again?
Well, so the smoke is the allegations that they've made. So in early July, Liberty Shared made a public announcement that they've actually submitted a petition to the US CBP, the US Customs and Border Protection, in April. And since then, we've immediately engaged with both Liberty Shared and the US CBP, where we repeatedly asked for them to share their findings so that we can take remedial actions and we can investigate. Now, over the last 6 months, Lynn, they have given us nothing. So we've engaged with NGOs in the past, both environmental and social NGOs, Greenpeace and Mighty Earth, and these are big names, hard hitters, and they are vociferous. And yet, both Greenpeace and Mighty Earth are very upfront about the issues they want to bring forth, and they are very transparent with their findings, but not so with Liberty Shared. So the smoke, as you said, is apparently there, but we don't know what they are. And this makes us suspicious about their motives. They are singling out Sime Darby Plantation without singling out the specifics. And this I find to be really, really odd.
Well, some rubber glove makers, if I may use them as an example, they had alluded to the fact that the government, the local government, needs to review how foreign workers are brought in through agents in the first place, because that could be where abuses actually take place. Might you be the beneficiary of this outcome where you are considered to be part and party of this whole forced labour chain?
Well, I don't know if there are any ulterior motives with regards to governments. But what I can say is, with regards to migrant workers, we do have a very strict process. And we work with a selected number of employment agents, both in Indonesia and in Malaysia. And the process is very well documented. So we employ them ourselves. The hiring and the recruitment process are done by our own people. So we know the people that we're bringing in, and they know what job they're supposed to do. So to ask for government's help is good, but I believe that as SDP, we have a very robust process in the first place.
So then, Haris, when we take a look at the situation, so you've come out to basically point out that there's no real systemic problem here and that you've tried to work with Liberty Shared and they've not given you anything. But the Customs Border Protection Agency has taken action against you. What are you going to do in response to that action then? Are there legal ramifications that you can, remedies that you can take?
Well, there are remedies that we are looking at. But let me give you a bit of a context to how this thing happens, yeah? Now, anybody can submit a petition to the US CBP on allegations around human rights abuses. CBP then will take that petition and look at it and decide whether there's a case for them to issue the WRO or not. So as I said, when we first heard about this, we immediately engaged with USCBP. But here's the thing, the USCBP is not obliged to tell you anything. So all the communications or the engagements that we've had with them has in effect been a one-way street. So that doesn't mean that we'll stop engaging. Of course, we'll continue to speak to them. And of course, we'll continue to provide whatever information that we have. But the fact that it's a one-way communication is quite frustrating. Now, with regards to legal ramification, that's something that we have to look at. But the key for us is to make sure that engagement continues, because it's not only important for us to do that, it's also important for our customers to understand what's going on and what actions we are taking.
Now, Harris, on that note, though, the CBP, I'm sure, doesn't act on every single petition. So there must have been some evidence. Otherwise, why did they take action in this situation? Is there any insight that you have on this?
Well, the only evidence I think that they have is based on the petition that was submitted to them by Liberty Shared. And as far as I know, that is the only piece of information that they have pertaining to Sunbelt Implantation. Of course, they would have had, they might have had other information regarding other companies, which I'm not aware of. But as far as I know, that's the only piece of information that we've had. And as I said, they won't give us any details about what other things that they found, other than saying that they believe that Sunbelt Implantation is actually in violation of the 11 indicators of human rights abuses under the ILO criteria. So that's very generic version.
So Harris, you know, considering that Sunbelt Implantation is a leading global plantations company that prides itself on governance, tell us what kind of steps are you taking to particularly ensure good governance and the welfare of your workers? I mean, Sunbelt Implantations made about 600 million ringgit in the last three quarters. How much has been set aside for this, for example?
Well, the governance process is an evolution, right? So we've spent a lot of time, a lot of effort in this. And I think we've made quite a good improvement over the years. There are, specific to this case, there are two things that we're doing immediately. First is we've appointed PwC Singapore at the suggestion of Liberty Shared to help mediate the process. And what I mean by mediate is for PwC Singapore to help validate allegations, if any, and to take any corrective or the advice on any corrective actions. So far, we have not heard anything, not from PwC Singapore, but from the parties, Liberty Shared and the investigator that first brought up this issue. That's point number one. And point number two is we are looking at, so we have appointed an international NGO that specializes in migrant workers. And the reason for doing this is to get this NGO to help us assess our recruitment process and to identify improvement areas and to help us better develop a recruitment process going forward.
And would some of these processes include maybe reimbursing workers for the agency fees they had paid just to come to work for SIMW? I think this was the outcome of some rubber glove makers after their own investigation and engagement with the US authorities.
Now, we paid the recruitment fees. So none of this is actually charged back to the workers. So we paid the cost of their visa, we paid the cost of their flights, we paid the cost of them being processed at the country of origin. So all of that is borne by us, right? And we never sort of charge back to these workers. So none of that is an issue for us as far as we are aware of.
Now, with this withdrawal order there, basically your products are stuck at the ports in the US. What is the potential impact of this ban to SIMW Plantation's earnings?
The impact is actually minuscule, if any. In fact, I don't see any immediate impact, Roshan. Our sales to the US in 2020 was only 22 million ringgit. And that is small in the whole scheme of things, where our turnover is around 10 to 11 billion ringgit. But what's at stake here is not the financial necessarily to the US, but rather our reputation. So our reputation is at stake here. So we have and we will do everything in our capacity to ensure that our reputation is restored. It's not about just the US, yeah. It's about our operations as Sunbelt Implantation.
Right, and exactly on that point, right? Is there a concern or possibility on your end that this ban or at least the reputational risk from that could extend to some of your EU customers who take these kind of allegations very seriously and are very concerned over general palm oil practices?
Well, our customers, just like us, Roshan, are taking these allegations very seriously. But I must say, and I'm saying this with You know, they create this humility. We are very fortunate as STP that we have customers in Malaysia and in Europe and even in the US who understands the predicaments and the situation that we're in. And they're giving us a breathing space, and they trust that STP will do the right thing. Now, for me, you can't buy that. When you have customers who say, look, Harris, we understand what you're going through. Let us know what you're doing. Let us know how you're engaging with the authorities and keep us involved or keep us informed. And that, for me, speaks a lot about the relationship that we have with our customers and the name of Sunderby Plantation. But it's a journey that we are going through, and we'll for sure keep them informed.
But aside from your customers in the EU, have you heard anything from EU regulators on this subject?
No, we've not.
All right. So I guess how can the industry then move forward to avoid any such future allegations in the long term, in your view? After all, the key here is to continue improvements, especially since ESG investing is becoming increasingly important, right?
Sure, for sure. But that is actually a very difficult question to answer. Typically, when you are accused of something, you want to understand what is it that you are accused of? What are the details? What are the specifics so that we can take corrective actions? As I said before, you know, we've dealt with many NGOs in the past, and we've worked all the issues one by one, and we came to a resolution. But in this particular instance, particularly with the USCPP and the WRO and the petition that can be submitted by, you know, all high and sundry, it's very difficult. How do you then preempt such thing? As I said, we heard about this in July. It was submitted in April. We immediately engaged with the USCPP and Liberty Shared. For the last 6 months, we've been engaging them on a regular basis, and still the WRO was issued on the 30th of December last year. So it's almost a case where if you know it's coming, it's probably too late for you to do anything because the engagement has been one way.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Harris. That was Harris Arshad, Managing Director of Sime Darby Oil, Sime Darby Plantation's downstream arm, talking to us about the ban on Sime Darby's oils and products implemented by the USCBP. Right now, we are heading, though, into the 8 o'clock news bulletin, and after that, the breakfast grill, where Roshan will be speaking with Dr. Gokar Chun, Group MD of MCE Holdings. Be sure to stay tuned for that after the news. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.